Alex Sider net.
Flame bench, there's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
You can put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Okay, we are underway this hour on Flames Talk. It is a Tuesday, December 17th. We welcome you to the Sports Drive brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. This Christmas, give the gift of security with smart locks and safes. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. Flames make some news on this Tuesday morning by signing defenseman Braden Pahal to a 2-year contract extension. Just a little under $1.2 million on the AAV. And lots else happening around the Flames. They approach the midway mark of the season. They're fighting for their playoff lives. They're right there in the mix. And lots of good news stories and lots of big picture stuff to get into, too. We figured, you know what, today'd be a pretty good day to say hello to this next gentleman. It's Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson. And now the general manager of the Calgary Flames, Craig Conroy, joins us here at the Dome in the Hot Stove Lounge. I think I've got your mic right. Is that
is it on right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, I got it. No,
okay,
I got it. Perfect. How are we doing?
Good. Great day. Pahal signed this morning. We were in the office. He signed him up. I signed with him. It was good day. Yep.
Well,
early Christmas for me.
How come you're so happy about it? Take us into the decision-making process on this one.
Well, I think when we, you know, last year we were making all the trades and we were moving guys out and we were lacking some depth on defense, and Braden went on waivers, and all of a sudden, you know, every day we're looking at the waivers, especially when you're in a situation like we were, pro scouts, everybody kind of jumped on board really quick. Hey, this is a guy we want to get. This is high quality, good character person, you know, hasn't got a unbelievable chance there in Vegas. They got a deep team, and this would be somebody we want to put in our organization. And sure enough, he came in, and you know, we knew what he was like in junior. We knew the type of person, so all of that checked the boxes. And then he had to play, and he's done that, and he's made himself invaluable to the coaching staff. I mean, we've seen people come in and out of the lineup.
Yeah,
the one thing, he brings a physical presence that, you know, he's still not the biggest guy on the ice, but he plays hard every shift. He gives you everything he's got, and that's what we're looking for. I mean, we've seen definite growth in his game. We think it's only going to get better.
Did you, because, I mean, he is still only 25 years old. Mm-hmm. You saw him for 33 games last year. Were you expecting a big step? Like, was he one of the guys you identified coming into camp saying, hey, this guy could take a really big step for us?
Well, I think you're hoping all the guys do it. And it's a battle to see who gets to play every night. And the one thing that separated him from maybe everybody else was, from the first exhibition game, he ran a few guys. And it caught my eye. It caught the coach's eye. And all of a sudden, it's been
eight hits in an exhibition game.
Yeah, it was
the exhibition opener.
I knew there was a lot of hits, and they were hard. And he did it, and it just kind of set the tone. And the coaching staff's like, did everybody see that tonight? Like, it just put him at the top of the list.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, and that's what you say, it's not always about scoring goals and getting points. It's about what you bring to the team that we don't have, and what, you know, Braden brings to the team is different than what other guys bring.
When you say, Craig, that there's still growth there, because, you know, the maybe counting numbers, goals and assists don't always apply to guys like Braden Pahal. So where do you see the room for growth in his game?
Puck play. You know, puck play, first pass, when he goes back and retrieves puck, sometimes, you know, it's easy where I'm sitting from up above, and I see, okay, oh, the guy in the middle is open. He just might not see it right away. He sees it a second later. So I think the more comfortable, the more times he plays in the NHL, the more games he plays. I think if you went back and watched the way Chris Tanev did it, Chris, little pop plays in the D zone between the legs as he feels more comfortable, those little plays on the PK, sometimes he has more time with the puck, he blocks a shot, the puck's there. I'd like to see him little poise with it and then fire it down. Sometimes he gets a little jumpy with the puck, but you know, it's just a learning curve. I mean, even though he's been in the NHL for a long time, it's getting better. But I have seen, he's got a great shot though. Like, he does have a very good shot to get it off, but I don't think about points with him as part of points are great. He would love to get points. He loved scoring the goal the other night. But we just think all the other stuff, and I think just how crisp and clean he can be on his exits as they get better, it's going to make him that much more valuable.
You know, you said something a little earlier about kind of how you saw him when he was still with Vegas, and, you know, whether it be Miramanov or whether it's been Ball, Sharon Govich, that whole philosophy of a guy maybe not getting an opportunity where he is right now, your pro scouts and your hockey group identifying him and then bringing them in and giving them more opportunity, that's been a pretty big part of this plan for you, hasn't it?
Well, that's the key. I mean, if you're going to go and trade for a guy or bring a guy in and not give him a chance, why would you trade for him? I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me when I see a guy, if he's an offensive player and you don't put him in offensive situations, you don't give him any power play time, you don't help him out, it just doesn't make any sense to me. So when, you know, when we looked at Kevin Ball and we're thinking, okay, watching him in New Jersey, love the size, third pairing, you know, played decent minutes, you know, can he give more? Yeah, we thought he could. We love the size. You know, I think he's been a little more aggressive even here, and I think he feels more comfortable getting to play with Rass, big minutes. He enjoys his role. I think that's – and you're really hoping – I mean, when we got Kevin, our mindset was, geez, I hope he can play with Rasmus. That would be a nice pairing because we like Miramanov with Uyghur, and then we had Pahal, and we're trying to figure – you know, when we had kind of those, the group of guys and who's going to play where. So when you bring in Ball, then he's hurt. You're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
So the camp didn't go the way we wanted. So we really didn't get to see. So you're a little bit hoping there's chemistry. I mean, and it's a weird thing, chemistry, because sometimes you think there should be chemistry, where I thought coming in Lindholm and Huberto would have great chemistry. And for whatever reason, it did not work. You know, I think I got fortunate when I was here. You know, people probably wouldn't have said, I bet you Craig and Jerome are going to have some good chemistry. Like, did I think we're going to have good? I had no clue, you know?
Yep.
And then it just starts to, you play and you're like, oh, this guy's easy to play with. This is where he likes to go. This is what, get him the puck, he shoots it in the net. It's easy, you know? So I think the chemistry thing, sometimes it works. The best, you know, you make trades and you think, okay, if this guy goes here and there, and then when it doesn't work, you're like, uh-oh. But that's where we kind of identified guys that maybe haven't gotten to play as much with other teams, can come in here, we can give them more of an opportunity, and now they have to grab a hold of it. And I think a guy like Pahal definitely has done that, and really watching Kevin Ball, he's done the same.
You've mentioned Kevin, you know, quite a few times. Are we getting a sneak a peek at next on your contract extension to-do list?
It's you would love to get them all done. I mean, really, you know, just move ahead and get guys done. Definitely takes time. Different levels of contracts or takes longer. And, you know, I think the other thing is there's always the uncertainty where the cap's going. You know, everybody, when Elliott came out and said it was going to be close to 100, agents hear that too.
Yeah.
You know, we're like, well, we haven't heard that. You know, and Gary came out and said it's not going to be that way, but until they kind of know, I think everybody wants to see where the cap
kind of gears things down.
I think so, and I understand.
Craig, can you just, you know, this might be a stupid question, but it means a lot more coming from the general manager than it would to me. Like, people are going to say, okay, well, you know, still looking for a star center, and sure, you know, still looking for more scoring, but can you speak to the importance of finding those guys, you know, as you build something here, finding those guys like Ball and Pahal who can maybe do some of the dirty jobs or fit some of the roles that might not be, you know, top of mind for everybody?
Well, I think the one thing is, you know, drafting last year, we drafted a lot of skill, a lot of players that, you know, because even when you watch our games, what do we have a hard time doing? We have a hard time scoring goals. I mean, you can just look every night. It's been well documented to score four goals is tough for us. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think we went and addressed that. But again, you have to understand it's not going to be this year those guys are going to come and help. It's going to take some time. And you want to find good pieces in the organization that when you add these other young guys, you're kind of putting your team at another level. You want to take it to another level, and you hope the young guys bring the, you know, and it's a lot of pressure on young guys, you know, to ask them to produce at the NHL. That's not easy. I mean, so, you know, you get bring in guys like this, character guys that fill a role, that help your team win, and maybe it's not particular on the scoreboard. They're not going to help put up goals and assists, but they stop goals and assists from the other way. So that's the key. And you want to try to build that and put them in the best spot and find guys that you can grow with as a team. And, you know, we talk about it taking a little time. It does take a little time. We don't want to take forever. You know, we have a new building. And it's exciting every day I drive in. The hole gets deeper and deeper.
There's
and
more things going on.
Yeah, it's exciting. You know, and I think
you're not supposed to look over that fence, you know, at how deep the hole is.
Oh, I drive right up to the top of the thing and look down in. I have to see where it's going.
That's fair. Okay.
I think I want to drive in there every now and then. But, you know, it's funny. You know, even Matthew was here the other day. Oh, the rink is going. Like, when visiting teams come now and I see guys on other teams and talk to them, they're like, you're actually getting a new rink. You know, I don't think anyone believed us here in Calgary that we're getting it. But now, which I think is going to be great for the franchise and it's be great for the future of the Flames. I think it helps. You know, young guys love new stuff. They really do. As much as I love the Saddle Dome, and I think it's going to be great for the fans. I mean, I sit in all the meetings and I hear what's going to happen and what it's going to be like. It just, the Flames fans are going to be excited when this building gets done finally.
We're chatting with Craig Conroy, Flames GM. I wanted to ask a couple more on kind of the future of the blue line, because Wes and I were talking last hour, you know, when you take a look at whether it's Brstevich or Parekh, or, you know, you had a really good draft of D-men. You add in Grushnikov. Like, there's some really impressive and exciting young players that aren't in the NHL as of yet. How excited are you about how they fit in now over the next couple of years?
Very excited. I mean, the one thing, when you see those guys play, they just make plays. I mean, they make plays. They're so smart with the puck. You know, even with Hunter, the points in the American League aren't coming. But if you actually go and just watch his game, what he does with the puck, the way he reads, everyone would think, okay, he's going to pass the puck here. Nope, he holds it, moves it somewhere else. You know, the pace of the game's a little bit. The guys are stronger, so he's just getting up to speed. But he's a young guy in that league. You know, so I think when people don't see the points, because he had so many points, if they really went and just watched the game, how he moves pucks. I don't know. I was at the other game last week, and he literally picked off four passes where you're like, okay, this guy's going to go crossing. He just stepped up, looked like he was passing to him. He read the play, broke it up, and away he goes. So, I mean, those are the things that you can't teach everybody that, you know. And then when he's got the puck, he almost always makes a good pass. You know, I was there for his first goal, which was nice because I know it was a lot of, you know, weight off his shoulders. But we got to be patient, especially with D and all the other young guys. Henry Muse, I was in to see three times. He played great. He had a four assist. The one day I was there, it was like, okay, you know, he's got things to work on, though. But you can tell he's trying to do it. Talking to Dave Cameron after the game, he is trying to do it, and it's going to take some time. But it's pretty promising. You look at all the guys. Luke Misa is on a tear right now. I mean, every time I look, he's got two or three points. You know, so that's exciting. And you just, each and every guy, Battaglia is playing well. Moran, the guys are all doing really, really well. Gridden has come on. I mean, I was worried about Gridden only because of the language. You know, we were hoping maybe he was going to go to the OHL, to go to the Quebec League. You know, Russian, then English, and now French. It's hard. Like, yeah, I can't imagine for a young guy to do that, but you can see his game's really starting to come on now. So that's a positive, too.
The other question, and a lot of people ask this question or talk about this, you know, Rasmus Anderson still has another year left on his deal, but is eligible for extension talks come July 1. Where are you on wanting to keep him long term? Like, would it be organizationally? Would it be the priority to lock him up for the long term?
Rasmus is a Flame. I mean, I've always said Rasmus is a Flame. You know, so, you know, in my mind, it's not even a question. But, you know, we'll see when July 1st comes and way things go. But, you know, the one thing, I have a good relationship. I had a good relationship with a lot of guys. So, yeah. You know, I don't want to get ahead of myself. But definitely Rasmus. He loves playing lots of minutes. He loves being a big part of the team. I think he sees now that we're going in the right direction. You know, like maybe last year, I felt bad because there was a lot of stuff I couldn't control with the players that were still left here and what was said in the media and what was said on TV every night. And, you know, that was the one thing I wanted to quiet the noise early on in the year. And I thought Kadri and Uyghur started out right from the golf tournament.
Yeah.
And set the tone for us. I really, I can't thank those guys enough because it's hard for me just to do it. But if I'm saying it and then the guys actually say it, it goes a long ways. And, well, you know, we got off to a great start. You know, we really did. And I think you look at what the goaltending's been, you know, people were wondering, well, you lost Markstrom. Your goaltending's not going to be very good. Really? Why not? You know, like that was my point. When I talked to those guys, they're excited about the opportunity that they hadn't had up to this point. So, you know, now they have to go and prove it, but they're going to get a chance to prove it. Just like we talked about with Pahal playing, you know, with these goalies playing, you know, they have to do it, but they have to do it consistently. You know, that's where we've seen good games and then okay games. And then I haven't really seen many bad games, but we need, unfortunately, on most nights, we need A-plus goalies.
Maybe you just answered it talking about the goaltending, and you know we were chatting about Dustin Wolf's sort of staggering stats on home ice, but let me just ask you, big picture, what from the general manager's chair has been the most encouraging development with this team this season?
I mean, it's the young guys again.
Yeah.
You know, it's really our young guys. It's Zari, it's Coronado. It's Pahal's even a young guy. Ball coming in and playing well as a younger guy, you know, with the all the pieces we lost last year, and definitely the goaltending. I mean, the goaltending is probably for me. You're hoping, you know, and you're cheering these guys on every night, and you want them to do well. And I think watching, they look like they can do it. You know, we've had some nights where it hasn't gone our way or pucks go in, but you watch, that's every team. I mean, so we can't get too high and too low with that, but I do think. With Dustin last year, you know, there was times when you're like, okay, let's see, how's this going to go? Okay. You know, and then this year at home, he's been outstanding. On the road, not as much. But, you know, you think as you move along next year, does he figure both out?
Sure.
Does he feel more comfortable? It takes time. It really does. And that's why you don't want to put too much stock in, well, he's struggling on the road. Well, you know what? He'll figure it out. It might take some time. You know, it's a different routine. It's just him getting into, you know. And I thought the other night in Dallas when he, you know, as tough as he is mentally, I thought when he threw the puck away and Ben knocked it down, it went in. I thought that was the first time I've seen him a little off, you know. Because I've seen Grant Fuhr do it. Patrick Roy used to do it. Those guys, but they were longtime NHLers, and it did not bother them, which was amazing because I'm thinking – it would bother me, you know, and I did think it bothered Wolfie a little bit. And then, you know, they scored a few goals and kind of the game was over. But those are going to be the things. That's a learning thing. Okay, you made that mistake. Kipper was the best at it, too. Him, Grant Fuhr, Mike Vernon, all these guys I played with, they could let goals go.
Right. It's know? Easier said than done, right?
Very, you know, because then I saw with other goalies, they could not. They were just, once it happened, They couldn't get the refocus. It was like, I messed up. I can't do it, you know. And that's the difference between the elite goalie and very good. I mean, those guys were all great goalies, but some guys could take it to another level.
It's really tough to project that sort of attribute. But do you see Dustin, you know, based on what you've seen in junior and the American Hockey League, do you see him as a guy that we're going to talk about someday as like, there's a guy who just doesn't get rattled. There's a guy who is really hard to kind of shake that way.
Oh, for sure. That's why when I saw it, or I thought I saw it in Dallas, I haven't seen that in the American League. I didn't see that in junior where he just kind of dominated. So he probably feels so good about himself there. You know, this one, he was probably, the game was close. Oh, I did, you know, he didn't let it go as quick as he can maybe in the American League or in junior, but I think it's only a matter of time because when you talk to him, you know, after the game, I listened to his comments. It was totally fine. But I did feel like in the moment, I'm like, uh-oh. You know, I don't think he just, you could tell there was a different way he was going about business the rest of the game.
You, when you took over, one of the main things that you said on that very first day was, I want to get younger. And last year we saw, whether it was Martin Pospisil or Connor Zeri, obviously Matt Coronato made the team out of camp last year and then went to the American League. Well, this year Zeri, Pospisil still here. Wolf is a full-timer. Coronado is a full-timer. You've brought in Ball. Like, where are you in terms of, you know, I would imagine, yeah, you'd always like to do more, but where are you in terms of how you've gotten younger? And now in year two, like, are you happy with how that's progressed and how that part of this process has gone?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that was the plan going in. You know, that's easy for me to execute because I can give guys a chance. And, you know, when you trade people away and you bring in other people and, you know, if Markey was here, well, Wolfie wouldn't play nearly as many games. And that's, you know, Markey's an amazing goalie and he was a star for us when he was here. But again, he's 34 years old. Where we're trying to get to, we need to find out how these other guys are going to do. And Devin Cooley came in and what he's doing in the American League. I mean, I would say he's probably going to be MVP. If he continues like this, he's MVP of the league. I mean, it's impressive. So, you know, he's pushing, knocking on the door too. So I think we want to, you know, and there's other guys. Stromgren's been playing really well. Rory Kerens is lights out. I mean, if you just look at stats, but to watch what he's doing down there. I mean, so there's still other guys we need to get up here and see at times. But right now the team's playing so well. You don't want to do too much too fast. You kind of want to make sure these guys are ready to go. When they feel comfortable and they're in the best position to succeed, then bring them in. You know, if you rush them, it can hurt their confidence, and you don't want to do that. I mean, I know it's the best league in the world, and you want to make sure the guys are 100% ready to go when they get up here.
Let me ask you kind of a two-parter. I want to ask you about Jacob Pelche, and obviously there's always a lot of focus on a guy who was a first-round pick. So when I say two-parter, obviously Jacob goes unclaimed on waivers back in October. What did you see from him in the minors as he maybe sort of put that part behind him, and what have you seen of him in five games on this latest call-up?
So I think when we go back to training camp, you know, what I saw was he was still a little tentative. Coming back from the injuries the year before, and that's not the way he's going to be able to play. He needs to be quick, aggressive on pucks and have some poise with the puck, you know, and make plays because he's got good hands and we know he can score in the American League. And so when he went down there, he put up a ton of assists and then get some points. But he was actually, for me, what I was watching, he went into battles like he used to. He went in for a battle. You know, he's not the biggest guy, but he didn't shy away and let the other guy go first. He went to win, get that puck race and win that. And he's done the exact same thing up here. I mean, what I like is he holds the puck. He actually makes plays. And it's hard what he's doing because you play 5 to 9 minutes. It's harder than playing 25 minutes in the NHL. It really is. Like, you sit on the bench for long periods of time, and then you go out there. Your legs, you know, if you're a fan at the game and you have to get up and go get some food, you're like, ooh, stretch after about 10 minutes. That's how the guys feel. I mean, that's really how they feel on the bench. So for him to come in and do it and give us a spark and work ethic and not shy away from the hard areas where maybe I thought he did a little bit in training camp, and just bring that juice again, you know, that he had. I mean, to score a goal, to get in, make, you know, the assist. That gives him confidence, too. A couple points and in limited minutes. So, you know, I think him being on the third line, I love it. I thought they gave us a good game the other night. I think as they get more comfortable together, you know, hopefully Sharon Govich is a little bit the older guy on that line. We want to see him carry it a little bit more and get going. But I did like he's been shooting it in practice. Every time it was on his stick, it was a hard shot in the back of the net. So I'm like, okay, if Sharkey can get back to shooting the puck, which I don't think he's done – I couldn't tell you how many times he shot, but not enough. He hasn't put himself in a position to get the puck and shoot. And when he does have a chance, he hasn't shot. So hopefully, you know, you can see him doing it more in practice. Hopefully that carries over tonight into the game.
Last one. What are your observations on Andre Kuzmenko? Just kind of where are things at with him in now his second year with the team?
You know, I mean, this is one guy that nobody cares more than Andre. Like, he's in there working, shooting. You know, he's going through a little bit of a, you know, he's got a little bit of an injury right now. And he's a guy that we need to get back and get going and get that. I mean, when he he came in last year, a little bit of a slow start, and then he really took off. I mean, you know, 14 goals in like 29 games last year and 25 points. That's impressive, you know, and we need to get him to get that confidence. Right now, you know, we want him to shoot more. You know, obviously he's got one of the best shots in the team, probably the best shot in the team. So, you know, those are things, but it's easier said than done. I can tell him to shoot, but if he doesn't, you know, that's tough. But I do think we get through this injury, we get him back, and we need to get him going again. And, you know, we need to find what's going to kind of spark him, you know, because he is a good player, but he's a good person and he cares and he wants the team to do well. And I think he's probably as frustrated with anybody with one goal right now.
He puts a lot of pressure on himself too, doesn't he?
He does, you know, and that's the thing. You go out and play. Hey, I did too. I mean, we all do. I mean, this is our job. And when it's not going well and it's not going in, you know, that's why I said, but just fire that thing. It might hit a D and bounce in it. Pinball in, you know, you just don't know. And I think that's what we got to do. We got to continue to work with him and try to make him, because he is a big part of this, and we need him to kind of get back to where he was last year.
Thank you, Craig. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
It's Craig Conroy. The Flames signed Braden Pahal to a 2-year extension today, just under $1.2 million. Good news story for the Flames, and lots more with the general manager of the Flames here on Flames Talk. Craig Conroy joining us here in the Hot Stove Lounge. You can get Flames Talk on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. We're here at the Dome, everything coming at you, and produced back at our downtown studio, the Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
You're locked on Flames Talk, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Okay, so usually we talk to this gentleman on Wednesdays. The last couple of weeks, though, on Tuesdays. I'm just happy to talk to this gentleman at any point because it's always good to take a spin around the Pacific Division. It is Flames Talk on a Tuesday, and we say hello to our Pacific Division insider. Jonathan Davis joins us now from NHL Network and VSiN Sports. Hello, JD. How we doing?
I don't think we have a regular time anymore. You've got me. Like, I don't even know what day it is anymore.
Look, on this one, blame Frank Saravalli. We'll blame him on this one, okay?
God.
Those insiders are super high maintenance.
Yeah, well, yeah. Saravalli, Friedman.
Exactly.
All the same. Yeah.
Appreciate it. Once we're back into the new year, Wednesdays at this time, we'll be back to it. It's only been a couple of weeks where it's been a little discombobulated. It's good to have you. It's good to spin around the Pacific Division. The Vegas Golden Knights, they continue to do some good things, hey, as another pretty solid road trip for them, including a couple of wins in some tough buildings.
Yeah, and they are not discombobulated. They're dealing with, okay, they come away. You know, they come away with the two wins in three games. And I, you know, watching that game against Edmonton, like, for me, that wasn't a 6-3 game. And, you know, I was listening to both Jack, very tough, but I had both the Edmonton feed and the Vegas feed. And I caught Jack Michaels and Louis DeBrusk just talking about the fact that, you know, they felt that Vegas carried a lot of the play in that game. And, you know, the shot, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? They outchanced the Oilers like 89-55.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I thought, you know, Edmonton did a great job of burying their chances. And from the Vegas perspective, hey, you know, they needed to defend a little better. But, you know, they come back the next day and they beat a Minnesota team. And granted, you know, it was Jesper Wallstat and it wasn't, you know, Philip Gustafson or Marc-Andre Fleury, but that was still a nice victory for them, playing three games in 4 days and back-to-back.
Tell us a little bit about the season Jack Eichel is having right now.
Well, you know, I had a discussion with the boys over at NHL Network Radio, and they're saying, stop saying that Jack Eichel should be an MVP candidate. He is one. And my only pushback is that, yes, he is one. But when I took at the odds earlier in the week and I saw the Kaprizov was at +170, and Jack Eichel's at 25-1. Like, I just think that people are missing something. You know, Kaprizov has been outstanding, and he would be my choice right now for the Hart. But Jack's not far behind, and I just think it's been a spectacular season for Eichel on a team, you know, that, gets a lot of attention, and I think people would rather see them fall flat on their face than winning. And so when we see what Kaprizov is doing, and far more flashier than Jack, I mean, he is must-watch TV. Like, Jack is just good. He's just, he's not must-watch. He just does everything so well at both ends of the ice.
And some injury news. What do we know about Ivan Barbashev?
Yeah, so Barbashev, I mean, he'll definitely miss a couple of games, it seems. It seems like, and, you know, hopefully for, you know, for their leading goal scorer right now, it's 15, that it's not long. But I will say, you know, the difference for Vegas this year is that, you know, one guy goes down and it's given somebody else an opportunity. You know, you look at Victor Olofsson, who's already matched his goal total from last year with 7. It was Pavel Dorofeev for a while, who at one point was their leading goal scorer. You've got, you know, Mark Stone's back in the lineup. So, you know, the Barbashev loss, you don't want to lose a guy who's playing on your top line. But I will say, like, Victor Olofsson, to me, what a bargain that guy has been, Pat. I mean, just, you know, just over what, $1.075 million for the free agent. And, man, it's been a great signing by Kelly McCrimmon.
Yep. For sure, for sure. Let's move to L.A. as they're doing their best to keep pace with this Golden Knights team, and they're winning some hockey games.
There, and oh, one other thing with Vegas, Pat. Like, yeah, we look at the standings, and if I remember correctly, like, they're, what, 2 points out of first overall, which yeah, I didn't have on my bingo card. So that was just one other thing of the Golden Knights. The Kings, they just don't give up goals. And the ageless wonder, Andre Kopitar, contributed to the first goal tonight. He set up Adrian Kempe on, who's having another bang-up season for L.A. But, you know, so stingy on defense. It's when it's 2 goals or less in 8 of their last 9 games. You know, so if you're going to beat L.A., you better make sure that you don't give up more than 2. Because, Pat, if they score 3, I think they're now 6-0-1 when they score exactly 3. They're 15-0-2 if they score 3 or more. So if you're going to beat them, you got to hold them to 2 goals.
It's funny, you know, one of the things you have on your topic list, we were talking about a little earlier here in our little studio at the Saddle Dome, because here in Calgary, the home road splits between the two spots for Dustin Wolf are bonkers. And kind of a similar thing happening in L.A. with former Flame, old Big Save Dave Rittich. Hey, there's some pretty large disparity between his home and road splits.
I mean, it's almost 2 goals more a game on the road than it is at home. I really don't understand it. It just doesn't make a heck of a lot of sense to me. I mean, the buildings aren't that different. You know, it's still the same team that's in front of them. Granted, okay, they may be wearing, you know, a different color jersey, black, you know, white instead of black on the road, but it's still the same team. I don't know what happens to Rittich. I don't know what happens to Dustin Wolf. But there's no question that for David Rittich, when you look at his losses this year, I think 5 of his road losses, Pat, he's given up at least 3 goals in the game. 1, he gave up 6 in a game to Toronto in a game on the road where he got knocked out after 2 periods, and he gave up 7 to San Jose. So he's definitely, you know, he's had some rough spots for sure. At home, he's never given up more than 2 goals.
That is quite the disparity when it comes to David Rittich.
And I don't know if he'll see it. And look, they've still got, this is game 4 of 7 on the road. They do have 1 back-to-back to close it out. So I'm guessing Rittich will get a start in that one. He was in the start for that game against New Jersey that they lost 3-1. Not a terrible performance, but at the end of the day, hey, he gave up 3. It was on the road. So, hey, I mean, just the numbers don't lie.
Yep. And what are we seeing right now, or what's happening right now with Quentin Byfield? I know that it has not been the greatest year for him, or at the very least, not exactly the type of year the Kings were looking for, but did snap out of a drought recently.
Yeah, well, Pat, I mean, it hasn't been the greatest 18 months probably for Quentin Byfield. I mean, he's got, what, 4 goals on the year. You know, if he was playing in your market, if he was playing anywhere in Canada, there'd be a great deal of concern for what's going on with Byfield. It's four goals. I think it's 11 points on the year. You know, I think for a variety of reasons, it just hasn't clicked yet for Byfield. And I think, you know, we may see a better Quinton Byfield when we get, you know, when the calendar flips to 2025. And why I say that, Pat, is that he's learning how to be a center. I mean, that was this year was supposed to be about. But, you know, we talked about it early. He got pulled away from center about four or five games into the year. They put him up on the top line. I mean, he spent the last 2 years being a real, you know, a top line left winger. Mm-hmm. And now they're moving him back and forth to playing the toughest, you know, the toughest position of the forward position at center. And he's just not there yet. So I think that, you know, it's a learning curve. And hopefully for Byfield, you know, it will finally click. But the numbers, you know, the numbers don't lie. This is not what they expected when they drafted this guy second overall. And I'm not going to use revisionist history at all, Pat. I said back then, and I think I'm pretty sure I said it to you, the guy they should have taken is the guy that's playing in Ottawa right now. But who knows? The way the Kings have developed forwards over the years, maybe Stutzel's numbers wouldn't be better in L.A.
That's also a fair point. We're chatting with Jonathan Davis. He is our Pacific Division insider. Joins us every week from NHL Network and VSiN Sports. Joins us right now on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. How about that Stanley Cup final rematch in Edmonton on Monday night? That was a lot of fun, hey?
That was a lot of fun to watch. You know, probably, you know, unless, you know, your Edmonton coach, Chris Knobloch, for sure. It's got
we're not so worried about
when you come. Yeah, we're not so worried. I know. But no, that was a great back and forth affair. And, you know, I think that, you know, so going back to the point that I made with, you know, that Vegas Edmonton game from the weekend, maybe the fact that Edmonton got away with giving up all those scoring chances and still came with a 6-3 victory, not as fortunate last night against the Florida Panthers. So it may not come to bite you in the game, you know, in a game like that, but ultimately if you keep playing that way where you're giving up way too many grade A chances, especially, you know, it's going to get you. And it did last night. But from a pure entertainment standpoint, for someone who doesn't have a hat in the race, we did have two bets on a goal in the first 10 in the first period over, and Connor and Leon both getting over a point and a half. So for me, I was good after the first, you know, 20, 30 minutes of the game. I just kind of sat back with my feet up. I was pretty happy.
That's really, you know, all that matters.
That's really, really all that matters these days. It's all about, you know, that instant gratification. But, you know, look, Evans played very well of late. I wouldn't look too deeply into that, but I would also think that, and look, Connor Brown addressed it. You know, you're not going to win you're not going to get the Stanley Cup back, you know, after winning that game last night, as he was talking pregame. But it's definitely a game that they had circled, and I'm sure very disappointed that they didn't come away with a victory, even though it's just 2 points.
Let's move on to Vancouver. You know, they got absolutely run over by Boston on Saturday, and that did not go over well in that market, that 5-1 loss. But a whole lot better, as they did a nice job on Colorado Monday night, didn't they?
I thought they did. You know, they came out and JT Miller, what, in the first 30 seconds of the game, almost had a goal. Far more jump in their game than they did on Saturday. And Thatcher Demko, I thought, when needed, you know, especially early on, because, I mean, he came up with some big stops in that one. Because that game could have gone the other way, but they got saves last night when they needed it. And then, I mean, you know, you think about, you know, what's gone on for Vancouver recently and the guys that are leading them. It's not the big boys. I mean, Keeper Sherwood with the hat trick last night. Again, one of those, nobody had that. If somebody bet Keeper Sherwood to win 3 goals, well, they're probably sitting on a beach for the next couple of months. It was a really good performance, and hey, they responded to the coach calling them out, and we'll see where it goes. I mean, it's one game. That's great. Let's see what happens the next time out. But this, you know, the other thing with Vancouver, they've gone through so much, and they're still in a very good position and gone through so much, you know, with the Miller situation, the Demko injury, the Hronek injury. So here they are, and they're still treading well above water. I still think they're a pretty good team to watch. And you take a look at how much turnover that roster's had, Pat. It's not bad.
Yep.
This DeBrusk guy's worked out pretty well too.
He's been all right. He's been pretty solid for him. And really has started to roll over the last little bit. Let's move to Anaheim. I'm curious as to your reaction to the Cam Fowler trade and what that could mean going forward. Is there another trade to come here?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, you would think that John Gibson would be the next guy in line to move. If the goalie market has shrunk a little with, you know, Colorado deciding to do a complete overhaul of their situation. How many teams are looking for a goalie, and how many teams are looking for a goalie at that price? You know, could Carolina revisit it? You know, we'll see. I mean, to see Dustin Tokarski in net a couple of nights ago, I forgot that he got called up recently, but you know, that's what they're dealing with right now with Peter Kachekov and Dustin Tokarski. I think they'd like to add a goalie. It's a matter of, can they make it work financially? But I'd be surprised big time if John Gibson is not gone by the trade deadline. It does, okay. You know. But I think Pat Verbeek the deal that he wants may not be out there. He may have to sacrifice something because I think he's going to probably have to eat maybe a little more money than he had hoped for.
What did you make of the Fowler trade?
I mean, I liked it. Look, once Trouba came in, you know, it definitely makes Fowler expendable. Hey, he wants a shot at trying to win. I think it's a good move for St. Louis. Kind of tells you that Nick Leddy is probably not coming back anytime soon. And I think, you know, the only sad thing is that I think Fowler's just a handful of games shy of,
yep,
of 1,000.
Yep.
And so, you know, it would have been nice to see him do that in a Ducks uniform. But at the end of the day, hey, look, they were able to make a deal. They didn't get at least a lot back right now on the surface. Although it was kind of interesting to me, the kid that they got, Bjarke Batuka. You know about his family tree?
I actually do not.
So I think it's his uncle is Tamunga Bjarke Batuka, who was the Michigan running back, Montreal born. But, yeah, that's his uncle who played University of Michigan running back and played in the NFL.
Well, that's very cool. No, I did not know that. That is a neat little family tree. I guess probably should have with the last name. That would be a pretty easy link to make. But, no, I did not
know that. Not too many Bjarke Batukas roaming around the Canadian landscape.
Exactly. That's why I was like, that probably would have been an easy dot to cross or a couple of dots to connect. Let's finish in Seattle, where the Kraken are hanging tough. They're trying to stay in this playoff race, but not necessarily in the most advantageous spot, are they?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is what we're going to see from Seattle. I mean, I think, you know, Seattle, Calgary, they're both going to be teams that are going to try, you know, going to be knocking on that wild card door. I just don't know if they've got enough to crack it open. No, totally pun intended, I guess. You know, look, Joey Decord gives them a chance to win every night. I still don't think they've got enough scoring. They've been better with Vince Dunn, but they're still so up and down. And, you know, they're going to get an Ottawa team tonight that's playing much better hockey in a similar position to Seattle in some regards and just the way they've both been playing. But, I think Seattle still needs something else. But they're good enough to hang around. But I think, you know, I don't know if they're good enough to take out, you know, they're definitely not good enough to take out Vegas and Edmonton. And I don't know if they can take out either Vancouver or LA.
Yeah.
So that's really the situation. Not with their roster as it is right now.
Yep. Great stuff as always, JD. Always appreciate the chats, my friend. We will do it again. We won't do it again next week because but we're it'll be Christmas next week. So we won't be doing it next week. We'll do it in January.
Yeah, let's. I'm actually off to Mexico. So I come back the 6th of January, whatever day of the week that is.
I think we'll be so then we'll do it. We'll hold off for a couple of weeks, and then we'll do it when you're back.
Yeah. All right, bud. Happy holidays to you and everybody out there.
You as well. Happy holidays, JD. Stay safe and enjoy Mexico. We'll talk soon.
All right. Take care.
Thanks, buddy. That is Jonathan Davis. He's our Pacific Division insider, NHL Network, and VSiN Sports. He joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline using the same secret recipe since 1975 at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Enjoying the game at home? Call for pickup or delivery at 403-248-3344. As we start to wrap things up this hour on the program, thanks to our outstanding producers, Cam Hughes and Shan Virgie as well. Craig Conroy kicked this hour off, and then JD wrapping it up. And all of it on the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. This Christmas, give the gift of security with smart locks and safes. Visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com.